Again, we'd like to turn to Joshua chapter 24. We'll just read verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Again, the last two chapters, chapters 23 and 24 of Joshua, record two separate incidents. We see Joshua gathering the people together, delivering a farewell address. The two addresses in many ways coincide with one another, and we see that Joshua is greatly burdened with their spiritual welfare, and he, in both chapters, addresses or issues instructions and exhortations and warnings concerning their spiritual well-being. And what he says, of course, as in all the Scripture, is very relevant to you and I today. In verse 14, as we saw this morning, there's a call that goes forth, and it's a call that goes forth to all of God's people. It is a call to serve God. Again, there's no conditions placed upon the call as far as circumstances or time or place. It's just a simple call to serve God. It is a call that involves being something in relation to God. It is a call that involves doing something relational to God. And it is a call that takes precedence over all other callings in our life. It is the vocation that God has given us to serve God. That's true of all of us that are saved. He may put us in different areas of service, and that may change several times in our lives. But we are all called to the vocation to serve God. And that is our life calling. That is something we are to do for the rest of our lives, for our entire saved lives. And our greatest commitment, it doesn't mean that we cannot be committed to other things. That would be irresponsible if we weren't. But our greatest commitment is to this calling, to this calling of serving God. And our main plan, again, we make all kinds of plans. Nothing wrong with making plans as long as your plans are adaptable to God's will. And as long as you're willing to change your plans as God's will is revealed. But this is to be our main plan in life, to serve God. That is our intention. That is to be our purpose. That is to be our desire. That is to be our anticipation. That is everything that happens in our life, all the circumstances that come into our life, the various places of our life. We ought to anticipate this. I am going to serve God. That ought to be our anticipation. This is true regardless of circumstances. This is true regardless of the day and what the day may bring. And again, this plan to serve God with our lives has an effect upon us. It has an effect upon our thoughts. It has an effect upon our attitudes. It has an effect upon how we view things. It has an effect, certainly, upon our actions. And it will have an effect upon our day, whatever the day is. So serve God. That ought to be our life's plan, to serve the Lord. And everything else is to revolve around that plan. Everything. And I mean absolutely everything is to revolve around this plan to serve God. Now, it's not for us to determine how we will serve God, in what capacity we will serve God. That's God's business. We are simply the servants. That is, we place ourselves at the disposal of God's will. Now, verse 14 begins with, "Now therefore." So it refers back to what was previously said. And what was previously said provides incentive to serve God. It provides incentive to stick to the plan to serve God. Every one of us, it's very easy to simply say, I plan to serve God. And we may be serious about that. But we have to stick to that plan. We are not to divert from that plan. We have to stick to that plan. I am going to serve God. So that will be our subject tonight, how to stick to the plan to serve God. So we must plan to serve God. We must make preparation for that, make arrangements for that. Always be in a position to accomplish that. We must be steadfast in the plan. There are several things we want to point out here. 8 main points that we need to always be mindful of that will help us stick to the plan. In verse 1, the last part of the verse, we see Joshua gathered the people together and they presented themselves before God. They presented themselves before God. If we're going to stick to the plan to serve God, we must always be mindful of the presence of God in our lives. When these people gathered together, they were very, very much aware of God's presence. We need that if we're going to serve God. We need that if we're going to stick to the plan. We need to have a consciousness of God. We need to have a God awareness in our life. That is, to begin the very moment we wake up, we are to be conscious that God is there. As we go through our day, we are to maintain this consciousness of God. Because I guarantee you, if you become oblivious to God, you will not stick to the plan to serve God. You can't. It's impossible. So we have to have an awareness of God. It says they presented themselves before God. In other words, God was very, very real to them. And if we are going to serve the Lord, if we are going to stick to the plan to do so, there must be an awareness of God. We must beware of anything, whether it be a person, whether it be an event, whether it be an attitude, whatever. We must beware of anything that dulls our sense of God. Beware of anything that causes you to forget, causes you to be unaware of the Lord. Beware of anything that would cause you to forget why you're here, to serve God. Beware of anything that would cause you to forget the plan of serving God. Because once you depart from the plan, other plans fill its place. And before long, you have a multitude of plans that fill the place of what ought to be the main plan, to serve God. So we have to maintain this mindfulness of God. Secondly, we must always be mindful of who God is. This is how Joshua begins, verse 2. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Where does he begin? He begins with God. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Notice that phrase, the Lord God. The Lord God. It's Jehovah Elohim. Jehovah Elohim. He is saying that God is, and he's reminding them that God is self-existent. That God is always existent. That God is always sufficient. That he is absolute. That he is all-powerful. And that he is the always faithful one. Notice the words, the Lord God of Israel. He is God, and the ones being addressed are Israel, or the people belonging to him. It is the Lord God of Israel. In other words, Israel belongs to him. We must realize if we're going to serve God, if we're going to stick to the plan to do so, we must realize who God is, and we must realize that we belong to him. We belong to him. Everything about us belongs to him. Leading to this call to be the servants of God, leading to this call to serve God is the reminder of who God is. And there is a reminder that he has absolute right over us. We must not only be conscious of God, we must realize who he is. And we must realize that he has absolute authority. He has absolute right over me. It is important that this be firmly established in our hearts and minds at all times, who he is and who we are. In all circumstances, this must be established. He is God. And he has absolute right, and he has absolute dominion over us. Realizing that truth, we do not put other plans in place of the main plan, which is to serve God. So the message of God to you and I begins here in verse 2 with the being, the position, and the authority of God. And we must begin our day with the being, the position, and the authority of God. And the fact that he has right and he has claim upon us. If we are going to serve the Lord, if we are going to stick to the plan to do so, we must see, we must feel, we must experience this truth of who God is, who we are. We must always have that truth before us. Thirdly, we need to always be mindful of the grace and goodness of God in our lives. And he addresses this in verses 2 through verse 13. And we'll break it down in several categories. But he's reminding them of the grace and goodness of God in their lives. It would do us good every single day to take some time and think upon the grace and goodness of God in our lives. It would do us good every day to think upon God's hand in our lives. That'll never hurt you to think upon those things. It'll always bless. It'll always be a benefit. There was a reminder of what they were, where they were. Verse 2. Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time. He goes on and reminds them of what and where they were. We must never forget where we were before God saved our souls. We must never forget what we were before God saved our souls. We were filthy. We were wretched. We were guilty sinners by nature and practice. We were totally depraved. We were dead in sin. We were enslaved to sin. We were condemned before God. We were void of all righteousness. We were without Christ. Being without Christ, we were unacceptable to God. And we were alienated from God, and we did not have a problem being alienated from God. We were at enmity with God. We were deaf to the voice of God. We were hopelessly lost. And if we're going to serve the Lord, if we're going to stick to the plan to serve God, we must have a realization where we were before God's intervention and where we would still be were it not for God's intervention. This is an incentive to serve God. This is a motivation to serve God. And then he gives them a reminder that it was he that brought them out of this situation. And he covers that in verses 3 through verse 6. You and I that are saved, we must never forget. We must always be mindful of the fact that it was God. It was God who chose us. It was God who ordained us. It was God who appointed us to eternal life. It was God who, out of love, provided our salvation. It was God who loved us while we were His enemies, while we were the servants of sin. It was God who came to us and imparted to us life. It was God who broke the chains of sin. It was God who lifted us up out of the mire. It was God who set our feet upon a rock. It was God who established our goings. It was God. If we are going to serve the Lord, if we are going to stick to the plan to serve God, we must see, we must feel, we must experience, He saved me. It was God that saved my soul. That must always be upon our mind. We cannot lose sight of that. Thirdly, in verse 7, there's a reminder that God was the one who put a difference between them and the Egyptians. Notice verse 7. And when they cried unto the Lord, He put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. It was God that made the difference between them and the Egyptians. And it was God who made the difference between us and the hellbound. God made the difference. The very day that God saved our souls, we were in no better condition than others. Again, Ephesians 2 verse 3, we were the children of wrath, even as others. That simply means we were deserving of hell. We were headed to hell. We were undeserving of heaven. But God made a difference between us and the hellbound. And now, because God made the difference, we are spiritually alive rather than spiritually dead. We have been set free rather than being enslaved. We are justified rather than being condemned. And we are on our way to heaven rather than hell. And it's all because of God. God has made the difference. My family did not save me. I do not owe more to my family than I do God. I owe everything to God. Everything. And to serve God is to be the main plan. It is to be our main vocation. And if we're going to serve God, and if we're going to stick to the plan to do so, again, we must see this, we must feel this, we must experience God has made the difference in my life. Had He not, I would still be back with the hell bound. But God made a difference that always needs to be in our minds. There's also a reminder in verse 8 that He caused them to be victorious over their enemies. The reason you and I have not been destroyed is Him. The reason we have not been completely defeated and overthrown is Him. And He reminds them in verse 8 that it was God who gave them the victory. In verses 9 through 13, there is a reminder that it was God who protected them and blessed them. And again, if we're going to serve God, if we're going to stick to the plan to do so, we must realize God has blessed me. God has blessed me abundantly. So if you read through verses 2 through 13, God is reiterating Israel's history, which is a mirror of our own. And 17 times, God uses the personal pronoun I, followed by a verb on their behalf. In other words, 17 times, God is reminding them, I have done something for you. Notice verse 3, I took. Verse 4, I gave. Again, I gave. Verse 5, I sent. Verse 5, I played. Verse 5, which I did. Verse 5 again, I brought you out. Verse 6, I brought your fathers out of. Verse 7, the latter part of the verse, I have done. Verse 8, and I brought. Verse 8 again, I gave. Verse 8 again, I destroyed. Verse 9, I would not. Verse 9, I delivered you. Verse 11, I delivered them. Verse 13, or verse 12, I sent the hornet before you. Verse 13, I have given. So over and over and over again, 17 times, God tells them, it was me. I did it. You did not do it. I did. We need to realize what God has done in our life. We need to realize that it's all due to Him. There's no room for boasting. There's no room for pride. God has done it all. Now, it's necessary that we realize that if we're going to serve God, because if that truth really gets a hold of us, you won't have a problem serving the Lord. And you won't have a problem making it your life plan to serve God. It's when we forget. It's when we become oblivious to the fact that it's all due to God. It's all due to Him. Fourthly, we need to maintain a right attitude of heart toward God. Verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord. Reverence the Lord. Fear the Lord. That has to do with, again, reverence and respect for everything that has been said so far concerning His person, concerning His majesty. It's also a dread of His displeasure. We need to have a reverence and respect for who God is, what God has done, and there needs to be a dread of God's displeasure. We are to serve God with our life, and it should be our plan to do so. And that should be our main plan. And every other plan revolves around that plan. And maintaining a right attitude of heart toward God enables us to serve God. I guarantee you, if a child of God is not serving God, they do not have a right heart toward God. And if you do not plan to serve God, if that is not your main plan, in which all other plans revolve around, then you do not have a heart that is right with God. Fear the Lord. Because of everything that has been said up to this point, fear God. We need to maintain a right attitude of heart toward God. When we fail to maintain such, we lose sight of Him. Really, by the time you are not fearing God, you already lost sight of Him. You lose sight of God. You lose sight of our main calling of life. And other matters begin to fill in and take the place of the main matter. And other people and other things begin to take the place of God. And you begin to formulate other plans. And pretty soon, there's no plan whatsoever. There's no plan that exists to serve God. It's gone. So if we're going to stick to the plan, we have to maintain a right attitude of heart toward God. Fifthly, we have to maintain a right attitude or maintain right service to the Lord. It says there in verse 14, serve Him in sincerity and truth. Those words state how God is to be served. God is to be served His way. We don't do it our way. We do it His way. And if it's not done His way, it's a disservice. But it tells us how God is to be served. Now, much of what is called service to God today is really quite different than what we read here in sincerity and in truth. Again, as we said this morning, sincerity. That has reference to that which is genuine. Our service to God is to be genuine. That which is authentic. That which is real. When he says to serve God in sincerity, he is saying that our service to God is to be without pretense. It is to be without pretense. The word sincerity also has reference to that which is unadulterated, that which is pure, that which is unmixed. It's what Jesus is speaking of in Matthew 6, verse 24, when he said, "No man can serve two masters." To serve God sincerely or in sincerity means that loyalty is not misplaced. Loyalty is not divided. When loyalties become divided, service to God begins to wane. And the plan to serve God in time will become non-existent. There must not be a balancing act between the carnal and God. We're not to balance the two, giving them equal time or giving God just a little bit more time. We have carnal responsibilities, and by carnal I don't mean sinful necessarily. I mean we have fleshly responsibilities. But it's not a balancing act between carnal responsibilities and spiritual responsibilities. We are simply to carry our spiritual responsibilities into our carnal responsibilities. It's not one or the other. So, loyalties are not to be misplaced or divided. When he says that we are to serve God in sincerity, what he's saying is that our service to God is to be very clear. It is to be very well defined. It is to be unmistakable. That is, people ought to look at us and there ought to be no mistaking. That individual is serving God. Our service to God is to be visible. It is to be obvious. It is to be very, very pronounced. Serve the Lord in sincerity. What that means is be decidedly for God. Be decidedly for God. And if we're going to serve Him, that must be so. Also, we're to serve in truth. That is, according to God's Word and will. Which goes back to chapter 23 and verse 6. Which says, "Keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left." So when it is our plan to serve God, there is a seeking after God's will. There is a constant concern. There is a constant asking of God, "What would God have me to do? What would God have me to say? What would God want me to do in this situation?" And it is actually going to God and asking, "What is your will? What would you have me to do?" If we're going to serve the Lord and stick to the plan to do so, We must serve God His way. Sixthly, there must be a putting away of that which is opposed and displeasing to God. Notice verse 14. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. Put away. This is repeated in verse 23. Put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. Now notice in verse 14, he does not simply say, put away the false gods. He is saying that, but he says something more than that. He says, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. They were to put away generational sins. They were to put away generational gods. Things that their families had been doing for years. Bible has a lot to say about generational sins. Much of what is called family tradition today is generational sins. The message is, cast away from ourselves that which gets in the way. Whether it be a generational thing, parents have trained their children in many aspects to carry on generational sins, they teach their children to be poor church members, and it carries on to generational sins. We're old enough now where we can look back and we can say, yep, they're doing just like mom and dad did. They're the same kind of church member that their dad was. They're the same kind of church member that their mom was. Generational sins. Have the same sinful habits. We need to concern ourselves with anything that gets in the way. You see, these gods would be that which would capture their attention more than God. That which would occupy their minds more than God. That which would consume their desires more than their desires for God. He says, put away. Put away the gods which your fathers served. Well, my family's been doing that for years. That may be so. But if it's wrong, you need to put it away. You need to be the one to stop it. You need to be the one to stop it. Not to carry it on, but to stop it. Oh, for someone in families to say, you know what? We've gone far enough with this generational sin. I'm going to stop it. I'm not going to participate in it. And he goes on here in verse 23. He says, put away the strange gods which are among you. So, there were the gods of the fathers, and these gods were now among them. They were a part of their lives. And he says they need to be put away. But it's not enough just to put them away. Because if that's all you do is put it over here, put it away, by tomorrow, you'll be back there. So he says something else. And incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. put it away, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. So what he's saying is, put away everything that gets in the way and prefer God. From that day forward, prefer the Lord over all of those other things, over those gods. In order to consistently do this, everything we've mentioned up to this point must be practiced. If we practice what we've already mentioned, the result will be we will put away that which gets in the way. There also needs to be a realization of the vanity of that which is opposed to God. The false gods of their fathers was vanity. The false gods that was among them, it was vanity. That is, it was emptiness. It was a life of emptiness. And before we put it away, we must realize, I don't have any use for this. As long as you think you have a use for it, you're going to hang on to it. So we need to come to the realization, I don't need these false gods. I don't need these generational sins. These things are in the way. Put it away. And if this is not done, plans, if we do not put away the false gods, plans will be formulated around the gods which your fathers served on the other side. Now we begin to make plans around the false gods. And the plan to serve God has been replaced. And serving God then becomes what it is to most today, a side issue. It's a side issue. It's something we do if we have time, and we'll do it our way whenever we please. Serving God with most has become a side issue. And it is because they have not put away. It's because of all these, a failure to do all of what we've mentioned. But it is a failure to put away the false gods. So if we're going to serve God, if we're going to stick to the plan to do so, we must always be putting away that which gets in the way. Because each one of us can go from here tonight and say, you know what? I'm going to plan to serve God the rest of my life. And I guarantee you that tomorrow, or even tonight, something will get in the way. Something's going to get in the way. So there has to be this constant putting away of false gods. We see also, seventhly, there must be a right attitude toward the service of the Lord. Verse 15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. As we said this morning, if serving God becomes displeasing or bothersome or uninteresting or unsatisfying, you see, if it becomes unsatisfying to serve God, what are you going to do? You're going to seek something else. Joshua has the mouthpiece of God warns that if this be so, if you're not willing to fully commit to God, you'll find some supposed reason for doing so, and you will serve false gods. And when this happens, when we begin to have a wrong attitude toward the service of God, here's an example of a wrong attitude toward the service of God. You're serving God, or I'm serving God, and something doesn't go as we thought it should go. What's the use? I'm not doing this anymore. That's a wrong attitude. That's a wrong attitude. And that needs to be corrected. That needs to be corrected immediately. You see, at that moment, service to God has become bothersome. It has become bothersome. And if that continues, serving God will no longer be a priority. And other plans will begin to take the place. And once again, serving God. You see, once serving God becomes bothersome, you're going to do one of two things if you don't correct it. You're going to fall into mere formality, or you're going to quit altogether. One of the two. Neither one is good. Neither one is good. Eighthly and lastly, there must be a dependence and a drawing from God. We're called to serve Him. Joshua has issued the call. The people responded in verse 18. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. And then Joshua said in verse 19, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. What he's saying here, again, notice, ye cannot. Ye cannot. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But outside of Him, Jesus said, you can do nothing. Ye cannot. You say you will serve God, but Joshua says, I'm telling you, you can't. In and of yourself, you cannot serve God. In your own strength, in your own abilities, you are unable to serve God. We need His strength. We need His enablement. This gets back to Joshua 23 and verse 8. Cleave unto the Lord. Why? Because without Him, we can't do it. Without Him, we cannot serve God. We need to hold Him. We need to stick to Him. We need to get a grip upon God. And once you get a grip upon God, don't let go. And then draw from God. You do not serve God in your own strength. And when you do try to serve God in your own strength, the genuineness of that service begins to wane, and the reality begins to wane, and service to God disappears or settles again into mere formality. In our own strength, we can go through all the formalities. In our own strength, we can stand up and sing. We can preach. We can teach. We can do all kinds of things. We can go through all the motions. We can do all of that in our own strength. And if we cease to depend and draw upon God, our service becomes just a mere formality. It's meaningless. So we have to depend upon Him. We have to draw from Him. And if we do not depend upon Him and we do not draw from Him, service becomes a mockery. And this is what God is talking about in Isaiah 59 when He says, away with your sacrifices. I'm done with them. I don't want to see them. It became a mockery because they were doing it all in their own strength, according to their own abilities, and they were doing it by memory. It was just rote. If we're going to serve the Lord and stick to the plan to do so, there must be a dependence upon God. There must be a drawing from God. And we must do this every day. We must do this several times throughout the day. We must do this continually throughout the day. Draw from God. We have an exhaustless well that we are to draw from. So in closing, we see that we are called. You and I that are saved, we are called to serve God. And that is to be our life. That is to be our life, to serve God. I realize we have people have earthly callings, if you will, or earthly vocations, and those things are necessary. I realize that. But realize this. Your main call is to serve God. And if God has put you in a vocation, whatever that vocation is, you are to serve God in that vocation. That is the main thing, to serve God. That's what we ought to want to be identified with, a servant of God. It shouldn't be that person there is a baker. That might be true. Maybe they are a baker. Or that person there owns a grocery store or a gas station or whatever. And all that might be true. But what I ought to identify us is that person is a servant of God. That's where our identity ought to be. And we ought to plan to serve God. Regardless of circumstances, regardless of the people that come and go in our lives, and regardless of all that, regardless of the times, we are to plan to serve God. We live in very difficult times, and it's going to get worse. We live in Babylon, and it's going to get worse. This is the time, this is the place that God has put us in, and we are to plan to serve God. That is to be our plan. Our plan is not how do we survive this. Our plan should be how do we serve God. How am I going to serve God? God, what would you have me to do in this situation? We might be carried off in our lifetime to jail. It's very probable. And if so, what are we to do? We're to serve God in jail. We're to serve God in jail. That's our call. That's our calling. We must never lose sight of that. Plan to serve God. And if we're planning something, and it's your life plan, it's in your thoughts. And it'll always be in our thoughts. I'm here to serve God. It forms our attitudes. It shapes our outlook. Again, as we said this morning, it gives us a basis for decisions and choices. We're not to make a decision that will undo the plan to serve God. We're not to make a choice that would be detrimental to serving God. We're not to do anything that would be detrimental to the main plan, which is to serve God. We're not to formulate other plans in place of the main plan. But all of our other plans are again to revolve around the main plan, which is to serve God. So we are to have this plan. I am going to serve God. We do not know what's going to happen. Your spouse may die this evening. Your brother, your sister may die this evening. The one closest to you may leave this life. You may suffer all kinds of losses. You may get news that you have a terminal disease. All kinds of things can happen. But the plan remains the same. I'm going to serve God. Nothing changes the plan. To serve the Lord. We may, in time, find ourselves in a nursing home, in assisted living. What is the plan? Serve God. It's a different chapter. It's a different chapter in our life. It's a different place. It's a different stage. But the plan is the same. Serve God. So this needs to be our plan. And then we need to stick to the plan. We don't do anything that would cause us to forget or lose sight of the plan. We must realize we are here to serve the Lord. If that means that God wants us to serve Him for the rest of our lives in Home Baptist Church, that's where we are to serve Him. If that means that we are to serve God overseas, that is where we're to serve Him. We don't know where the service of God is going to take us. We simply must be willing to be taken there, because we realize this is what we're here for, to serve God. So all that, again, that we would plan, that would be the plan of our life. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to fail along the way. But when I do, I'm going to correct it. I'm going to go to God, get it right, and continue on with the plan to serve Him. We're going to get off track every now and then. But the very moment we realize that we've gotten off track, we need to go to God and get back on and continue on. Continue on with the plan. Because I guarantee you, if you get off track for a length of time, service to God becomes either a side issue or non-existent. One of the two. That must never, ever, ever be the case, where service to God is a side or a secondary issue. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse 7.